morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, the tweenager-ish episode. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and share what we've learned with you. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours a day to do life. But for this, put the ears on and come out and hang out with us. It's your place to put your feet up or down if you're exercising or driving or food shopping or something like that. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave reviews, we're giving out candy canes during the holidays this year, and you'll assuredly be on our list. Also, have some fun and follow us on the gram, Twitter, or Facebook. In tonight's show, the dads will have a little fun food shopping during Parent Tweets of the Week. They take a real look at how social media affects teenagers in their Smart Article by Smart People segment with an article from the Child Mind Institute. Then the dads try their hand at some teenage quizzes and questions from Teen Vogue and 17 Magazine. So nothing out of the ordinary there. And finally, they wrap up with things that make them smile. And speaking of things that make me smile, what's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
And would you like to kick off the show for us?
Yes.
All right, let her roll.
When does a regular joke become a dad joke?
When does a regular joke become a dad joke?
When it becomes a parent's.
When it becomes apparent. Oh, man. You are good. High five. All right. Head inside. I hear we're having burritos tonight. I love you. See you later. Dad Timeout Show. The guys are coming around the corner. Coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, there are the guys coming from around the bend. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey there.
Good evening, boys.
Missed you. That first one was a rehearsal.
Yeah.
We rehearse around these joints.
Cheers.
Welcome back. We got the four-pack back. Mark was on a little vacation.
Indeed.
And then Ben had his adult man softball change. So you're with us tonight. That's very exciting.
My adult man softball.
Do you play with a giant green softball?
That's what they changed the name to.
Do you guys officially do like fast pitch? Do you wear like cool uniforms with like the local bar on the back?
Do you really want to know? Or are you just making fun of me? Or?
No, I wouldn't. That's what
this is fun. It's if you have a co-ed team in your town, I suggest doing it with your spouse or alone. It's super fun. It's ridiculous. It's not high. Like the one I do with my wife is high, very low level. It's just giggles and us having a night to do something with the friends, have a drink. It's a great night out. Find a local.
It's a great night out.
Nice. D4 co-ed, man. It's hilarious.
I concur. I played D4 with my wife early on.
It's a good thing to do together.
It's a whole lot of fun.
Nice. All right, we've already kind of gotten to know the guys. I'll be briefly. I'm MK. I'll be your tour guide and the more annoying presence of the evening. To my left, I have.
I'm Chris, the melancholy.
Tiger Dad? Melancholy Tiger Dad.
I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben.
I do all kinds of things. What do you need? Tell me what you need.
I need you to toss it to your partner over
here. Go to my left, Mr. Mark.
Hey there, I'm Mark, and I'm back from vacation.
All right.
Extra chipper.
We've had good couple weeks. Busy couple weeks for everybody.
Oh,
Especially busy. I just do want to mention this off the top of the show. Shout out to all the heroes that are fighting the fires in California. We obviously are broadcasting from backyard in California, and we are hundreds of miles or so south of the fires, but we're seeing the effects of the smoke down here.
Yeah.
So the brave people that are up in those towns and fighting those fires, thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope everything starts to wind down somewhere. But anyway,
please pray for rain.
Pray for all the heroes out there, frontline heroes included, always. But that, how was your vacation, your mini vacation, Mark? Where did you go? What did you do? Who did you see? Did you hang out with Keith Richards? Like, what was the story out there?
Keith Richards and I did talk over the phone. No, Pebble Beach, Monterey.
Dang.
17-mile drive, hanging in Carmel.
Your second home.
You know, seeing otters, going to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, which we're members of, which is always a good time.
Yeah.
You know, the jellyfish, you can just sit there
and go to the cannery and get some fudge, Mark?
There's a little bit of that going on, mm-hmm. a lot of good food. Mm-hmm. There's a cheese shop. I want to shout out to the cheese shop in the Carmel little shopping area, man. I'll tell you what, going in there, getting they're back to giving samples again, and
just hang out.
Mark,
yes.
Speaking of canneries, I was thinking, wait a minute.
Speaking of canneries,
hold on, Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Oh, he delivered. Oh, that's right. Thanks.
Well, you should see what we see.
I have some canned tomatoes. Some canned peaches.
You guys rehearse like that or what?
And some canned pickles.
So listeners that aren't in on the inside joke, if you follow us regularly. They're
in front of us.
We often challenge Mark with many of his stories. And we recently challenged him after he spoke of canning random objects in his house and pickling things. We didn't believe him.
Come on.
And we asked him to produce it and he forgot, so we kind of destroyed him on the last episode. But now he has rebounded.
Right before our eyes.
Full credit due.
There's a date on there. I got to eat them before 7/29/20.
Make sure there's
that's when they're canned.
A produce market tag on there.
He just bought them on the way over.
You're a year off.
No, those were canned last year.
They were canned last year.
They were canned last year.
So I'm a year off. Got it.
Nice. No, they're good. Yeah, they're still ready to go.
Well, bravo. Wow. I'll admit when I've been busted and you brought the sauce.
I'm going to eat this whole jar of pickles tonight.
Cheers to you.
Can we keep them?
You know?
All right.
No, are these gifts? Yeah. Are these gifts?
Cheers to you, Pioneer Man.
This is recorded.
Canning and pickling and plumbing.
I'm here for you.
Good job, Mark.
All right. Well, I spoke earlier, but tonight's show, we're going to be talking about how social media affects teenagers. We got some tweets, but they're going to be about food and food shopping, just to change it up a little bit. And then we've got a lot of fun stuff down the pipeline. But I have to tell you guys, you know what? You know what made me happy? Not made me smile, because that's the end of the show. Guess what's coming to the household?
A puppy?
It's very exciting things. First, let me show you my
workout related.
No puppy. if anybody would like to try my brand new Beekman facial cleaning wipes, vitamin B5, vitamin E, and vanilla.
Dude, it's getting worse.
Would you like one, Mark?
I think that sounds fabulous.
All right, I'll give you one during the break. They're delightful. My daughter and I found them. And what's coming to the home is a smart scale.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I never knew of these strange alien-like devices, but I guess you stand on them with bare feet and they shoot a laser beam through your body. And
sounds
then it's
electrodes and whatnot. Yeah,
BMI.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's a laser beam.
Yeah.
But BMI.
Have it sync to the app and stuff and
yes,
it tracks
you. Another gadget for me to play with. Oh my gosh.
Oh man, it's not good. One more thing to obsess about and stress about because you're standing.
But it's me. I don't care what my house does. It's just me. And I'm trying to become a healthier, better human. Yeah. My house, I could care less what anybody does.
Makes you more a present.
It's all about me right now.
Yeah.
My scale doesn't feed Mark's to an scale. App, but it does give me BMI and all that stuff.
So Mark's ahead of you again. Okay, you already have a smart scale. Are you saying you have a smart scale?
Yes, I do. It just doesn't have an app.
Well, you don't, and I'm happy for you.
No, his has an app.
No, you have to have the one with the app that syncs to your Fitbit.
You get one with an app.
Tracks over time.
By the way, gentlemen, can I just discuss what we're drinking before we completely go off the rails?
Please. Yes.
Juice from the Fresh Juicer.
Wow.
Is out. It doesn't compare to Mark's 400-pound counter kitchen one.
That's the next challenge.
That he got from Morton's back in 1987.
Yeah.
But here's your fresh grapefruit.
From the Sears catalog.
Yeah, I've got FootJoy socks on. I am a happy, happy dude right now.
Me too.
I just was speaking of happy. We have had a lot of great response on our recent episodes, and we just had a fantastic interview with the ladies that wrote the Parent Compass, Cynthia Muchnick and Jen Curtis. So that just recorded yesterday, but we're going to give some shout outs to the recent friends and followers on Instagram, or if they just have great accounts, I'd like to promote people because I think it's great that they are putting out really fun content. At Check Your Kids at the Door is an incredibly funny and clever IG account. We've been going back and forth at Joke Dad Base, IG account, of course, with dad jokes and parenting memes, at mom underscore needs underscore a underscore laugh. People love the underscores. At Connecting with Teens, had some very nice words to say about our last episode where we talked about the Olympics and Simone Biles and all that sort of stuff. At Motherhood Messy is a great account. And recently, I might have to drum roll one of our next guests in, our good friend at Andy McCall out in Western Tennessee. Andy does a lot, but I don't want to do it justice without injustice without reading Andy's official bio. But he and his guys are in West Tennessee, and shout out to the Loom Book Club on that note. Their dad book club out there. And at Parent Compass, Cynthia and Jen obviously interviewed yesterday. I just said that. And they're going to be our guests on an upcoming DTO conversation. And now, what you've all been waiting for, coming up next, Parent Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, so we're going to get into our Parent Tweets of the Week this week. And I guess we're going to go with sort of a food theme since Mark took on the Mark Challenge and kind of squashed you and I, Ben.
A little bit.
So this time. You are trying, just because this is a great podcast content, you're trying a pickle.
Yeah, so he pickled some stuff, and I thought what better to try than the pickles themselves. And I love pickles.
There is a caveat, though. You must give him his jar back.
I know. That's not usually the deal when you buy it.
You just give them to, like, but friends and family.
You didn't buy it, though.
This is sealed a year ago. And listen here, everybody, too. If I can get the lid off. Wait.
Ben is currently
that was
trying.
Real. That was not a sound bite. That was a real pickle. I'm going to dive into the pickles, Mark. Here's it.
He's tasting the pickle. He lifts it up. He puts it on his tongue. He chews it. He's going to give us a verdict right now.
That is great flavor, my friend. That's great flavor. You guys want to try these dang pickles.
Doubles down with a great taste.
I'm going to take another.
Excellent pickling ability.
They're really good. Mark, nice excellent pickle.
See? Sweet. Excellent pickle. There's the verdict.
Excellent pickle.
Mark has been redeemed on the all four episodes.
I don't understand why you guys would doubt he would be doing this.
No, but I mean, for
such a Mark what is it? Do.
We can talk ingredients later, but that's a dang good pickle, Mark.
Okay.
Add those tomatoes to a tomato sauce.
Speaking of pickles, let's move on to the parent tweets of the week because there's a lot to do with foods and groceries. All right, this is from at Mama Jessie C. At Mama Jessie C. The only things certain in life are death, taxes, and always being in the slowest moving checkout line at the grocery store.
For sure.
Do you play the game? I always play the game and I lose. Oh, that line looks shorter. Then I get into that line and somebody's paying with a check or paying with change or
something goes wrong.
I always
or they split their order into three. That's my favorite.
Well, that's the new thing with the Instacart kind of thing, because they'll buy three different orders and ring up three different orders.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesse, we
got to go by item. Got to go not by people, but by item.
I try to stay express. I definitely have.
You can do
the
that.
Checkout,
they're not. They're know, not the... going to really check how many items you have. A little secret.
I've seen people with 30, 40 items.
Yeah. I had a guy. I was at a market, and I had a guy. The guy who was at the register, and I pull up, and he's like, "Sir, this is 15 or less." And I looked at my cart, and I said, "I have less than 15." Rang me up 14. I'm like,
"What'd you do?"
Ooh, stared him down.
I didn't
stare him down. Did you give him
a stink
guy.
You know,
yeah, I know
he was a little. He was a little snarky, but in the end, I think he felt like he didn't feel great, and we had good conversation. I continued having like friendly conversation.
Kill him
with
kindness,
him.
Mark.
And then I did. Yeah. And then I walked away with my receipt and I shook it. No, I didn't. Okay.
Oh man, you did.
I thought about it.
All right. Well, our next tweet of the week is from Megs Dean Jealous, MEGSDEANGELIS. Lobsters, we're going to stay in the grocery store. Lobsters would be proud of themselves if they knew how expensive they were.
I like that.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's good.
That's hilarious.
That's like
how much are you, Leon? $14.99.
More expensive than you guys.
Do you think they look down at like the scallops and the shrimp and they're like, "We got you, boys.
Someday I want to be Wagyu." Yeah, dude.
But then they get dropped in the boiling pot. Gosh. Yeah. Well, that's a
so tasty.
But they live the prize life while they're out there bragging, right. Rolling large in the ocean,
so. Smoking totally. Cigars with little top hats,
little
on.
Tiny lobster cigar,
monocle,
little hob hat, the seafood tank,
tasty.
This comes from SME Robin. My husband just bought me ice cream with raisins. Ooh. So that was a fun marriage.
Ooh, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
What?
Must be a mistake.
What
a
ice cream?
Mistake.
Is it rum raisin?
Oh, any what? Ice that cream rum with raisins. Raisins is horrible.
Does that have raisins?
I hate raisins.
Yeah, I think that'd be rum
you hate raisins,
raisins
in
oh,
general?
My gosh. Yeah. Oh. I hate them all
they
the
got
time.
Their place. They got,
you know when you like bite into
raisin
a cookie,
cookie
thinking, yeah, oh. thinking that it's like chocolate chip, but then it's like raisin. And
well, that's a whole different animal.
Or like you go to Halloween and the lady gives you a little box of the like
sun-made raisins.
It's true. Rum raisin is like grandma's treat.
Is that the worst?
I hate the raisins.
Ice cream flavor?
They're rotten grapes.
Can't think of a worse one.
Have you ever had Moroccan chicken, though, with the carrots and the
we're
raisins?
We're talking about
man?
Ice cream.
I know, but we're talking about raisins.
Yes, okay. Know, what about anyway. The dancing California raisins? They didn't make you love
oh
raisins
my
as
God.
A kid?
Those were
horrible. I think I like the dates
nightmare
better.
Inducing.
Dates are good. Prunes?
Dancing dates.
Raisins? They're going to be out on the table, oh, perched right in front of you next pod.
I'm going to dehydrate him.
Sorry.
Okay, this comes from Annie Mumary, M-U-M-A-R-Y. Oh, I feel this one. Dear cereal makers, exactly how tall do you think kitchen cabinet shelves actually are?
Whoa. Right? And then the price for the giant ones is so much better that you feel compelled to try and
wedge it in there.
Ooh, like, yeah. I can fit this in there.
They're in cahoots.
They are.
I've crunched down so many boxes. But I have the old school, not, I don't know if it's old school, but when I was younger, it was called Tupperware. Yeah. But we have the, like, I love the counter compartments where you can see things. You know, the containers that are see-through.
Yeah,
so
fancy.
You know where your jasmine tea is. Sure, you know sure. where you're at, whatever. So I have a cereal one.
Yeah.
Just for the, and then I will empty the bag out and then roll the bag and throw the box out because none of them fit in our cupboards. It's a shady scam. It's like the hot dog bun ratio. It's like it just doesn't pan out. They know that. They know just it. Do it to screw with people. General right, Mills okay. people sit in their little offices with their little designer boards and they're
called
like,
up the counter people.
They call
48 the inches, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. How about 50, Jim?
Yeah.
All right, Marty. Let's ship it out and just watch the fireworks. Yeah, cereal maker boxers.
Huge conspiracy.
It's from Zulu Only. Asks, are you telling me a shrimp fried this rice?
Come on. Boo.
Come on, it's awesome. That's so,
so
good.
Daddy.
So good.
Daddish.
I started with that's nothing, daddish. But I brought some thunder in the tweet yeah. zone tonight. We're going to go a different direction, but I like this. At Rick Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. Busy owl parents often will hire a hoot nanny.
What?
Yes, I really just did type that.
What?
A hoot nanny. Get it?
Hoot nanny. Get it?
They hire a hoot nanny.
That's so dad joke.
Yeah. It's when you're at the grocery hooting. Store, you have a lot of kids and you're an owl, you need a hoot nanny.
God. What is a hoot nanny? Isn't that a party?
Yeah. It is. It is. Yeah. But we're talking about a.
It's a good nanny. Party.
No.
Well, and I really like this next guy. This is the tweet that I pulled, but he's got some great stuff. At Barton Soul. And I'll finish it with, and just like that, you're the old guy using a leaf blower on his driveway in the early afternoon.
Yep.
Oh.
Or every afternoon. I'm sorry.
That's actually my neighbor in the morning. 7 o'clock.
Seven?
I'm like, really?
You got to call that out, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm up.
We get a couple of those, but yeah, I'm there. The leaf blower is right where I'm pointing, which the listeners can enjoy. There's nothing more satisfying than blowing this joint out. Just get putting it on my shoulder and just, and then I let the kids do it and they'll blow stuff. Like, we have a lot of fun. It's like, in case of a, you know, we don't have a pool, so why not give them a leaf blower?
I never really understood. Hey. Where do they go? Do you just blow them into a pile and then you?
Well, that's the funny
yard.
Part, right?
The neighbor's yard. Where do they actually go?
Kind of goes different places.
Skills all over.
Just, we don't have a lot to blow. I did blow this off because there was, unfortunately, ash on a lot of stuff. Mm. But Yeah. All right. Well, that's our tweets of the week. Thanks to those great writers and funny people. And just so our listeners know, we always post all those tweets and reciprocate on Twitter. So if you're following us at Dad Time Out Show, if you want to follow these folks, they're pretty darn funny. All right. Coming up next, we'll change gears just a little bit. We'll get to smart articles by smart people coming up next.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for Smart Articles by Smart People. Unfortunately, I have to break up the pickle talk that's been taking place between our segments. But this is actually, we've teased that we were going to talk about this, so I'm glad we're finally, like, at least taking our first crack at it. It comes on the heels of my conversation with Cynthia and Jen yesterday, because they actually have a chapter in their book, really specifically on tech, and it gives you a ton of resources and outlinks and stuff like that. But this is from the Child Mind Institute. And the article is called How Using Social Media Affects Teenagers. But, you know, it kind of starts out. Experts says kids are growing up with more anxiety and less self-esteem. The data is there. I mean, the proof is there. I'm just going to read from the article, and then I'll tell you a little bit how we're working this scene. And I'd like to hear from you guys, and then we'll kind of plod through the article, because they have several different topic headers, and I think they're all important on different things. Basically, it kicks off. Many parents worry about how exposure to technology affects toddlers developmentally. We all know our preschoolers are picking up new social and cognitive skills at a stunning pace. And I've seen that with my six-year-old, because from playing with the phone to the initial iPad games and things like that. Sure. Now, we have the balance, and, you know, there's time limits and all that stuff. But then we got to the pandemic, and then they're on screens even anyway. So I digress. We don't want hours spent glued to an iPad to impede that. But adolescence is equally important part of rapid development, and too few of us are paying attention to how our teenagers' use of technology, much more intense and intimate than a three-year-old playing with dad's iPhone, is affecting them. In fact, experts worry that social media and text messages have become so integral to teenage life, they're promoting anxiety and lowering self-esteem. Young people report that there might be a good reason to worry. A survey conducted by the Royal Society of Public Health asked 14 to 24-year-olds in the UK how social media platforms impacted their health and well-being. Survey results found that Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram all led to increased feelings of depression, anxiety, yeah, poor body image, and loneliness. Here we are. Like, we knew there would be something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when this stuff was all invented, it's so shiny and beautiful.
Yep.
And it's so fun.
Yeah.
Interactive, endorphin-driven. And we knew eventually it would whittle its way down. Now, it has for a couple of years now. We're talking, like, I don't know how long the phones have been around or the pads. But it was funny. I think I mentioned on our other broadcast that the pictures of my children, my oldest is 13, her first photos were all taken on BlackBerry, and then I got the first iteration, the iPhone, so the next kid's pictures were nicer than the next kid's. That's just pictures, but my point is, like, the technology whitewater rafting started, right? And then my wife and I developed strategies on how to tackle that within our own domain. Now, this is really gluing in on social media, right? So yeah. I'll stay in that lane. With our children, there's no social media in our house yet. Kira's 13.
That's coming.
The thing, I get that. The thing that we have stuck to is wait till 8, which is, from what I've read and gathered from several sources, 8th grade and higher, probably 9th, is the tipping point where they can start to, they have the mental abilities to match what's happening on those screens. Yep, now, yep. So that's our thing. Now, our oldest doesn't even have a phone. We're kind of sticks in the mud. I know we are an anomaly. Every kid in her class has we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. And I say to her, it's coming. Like, you're going to get one. We're not naive.
Sure.
But every kid in her class has one. They're all texting 24/7. Now, she has her ways to interface. She has communication a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not done there. And then social media, I'll let her look, like, she knows what Instagram is. She knows what TikTok is. She knows what everybody's talking about.
Sure.
Or we'll watch it together, and I'll explain to her. And now I'm looking. I told her we were going to talk about this tonight, She's like, Dad, come on, man. I know what it is. Like, I'm like, I know what you know what it is, but that you don't have your own accounts and the Finsta mm-hmm. accounts and the secondary and third accounts. So that's kind of where we are with them. The younger two will follow her path as well. Chris, how about you? Because you have two.
Like, man, my oldest.
You're right in the sweet spot, right? Yeah,
she's in it. Like, her life revolves around Instagram. I think her social sort of circle and all of her universe, a big part of that is Instagram, I think, or social media based. And my youngest, even though she doesn't have an account or anything, I think the thing is that it's such a part of our lives. Like, it's already integrated into our life. She sees me posting. And when she does something good, I'll post it to social media. So she already has grown up in an environment where that thing exists. And this is where we have to kind of put our best foot forward or something, and this pressure to kind of like, this is like the image that we want to project out there, and the pressure that kind of might, that you don't think about. But definitely, like, man, that first part of the article where it's basically saying that, hey, you know, basically it's affecting kids, especially teens, in a negative way, especially in terms of self-esteem. And then this ability to, like, communicate with each other, because they're always kind of doing it via screen. And it's like, all this time I've been trying to put into words exactly kind of what I feel like my oldest daughter is going through. Like, you know, like, does she have, like, you know, like, how is she, where does she get the cues to build her self-esteem from? And then, you know.
It's not based on reality.
Yeah. And this not interacting with her friends in face-to-face and not being able to learn the social cues of just like facial expressions and all of that. It's like literally
coupled with the mask issue skill. When they are in person, they can't, they like, just to say, like, you know, if kids are, you know, you go, I was walking by the high school, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just had a thought, like, the walking by high school, like, kids walk out of school and they were outdoors. I'm like, so I was just observing the high school, like, they're outdoors with masks on. It's like, they're getting very used to it. And so they're also not catching each other's facial cues anymore, which is a very subtle and important thing.
Well, yeah, you're right, Ben, because it does cite it in here. As a species, we're very highly attuned to reading social cues.
Yeah.
There's no question kids are missing out on very critical social skills. Right. I've heard this talk for years, but now I can actually see it in black and white and discuss it.
Yeah.
You know, that the communication is really going to be
a dying art or skill. You know what I mean?
Big right. Time, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the ultimate fix is. But, you know, it goes into the communication and social is one thing, but also the self-imagery and creating that perfect picture, and then the anxiety of not getting enough likes on it.
Yeah. Right.
Or it's a new form of popular kid at school, right?
I don't even know what that's like, you know, like my kids. I mean, I feel that my own anxiety about that kind of stuff. Like, again, like, we're doing posting and stuff and part of that world, and you know, they're born into it, you know.
I try to be transparent. Like, we're on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm on it, and I'm not going to use it as an excuse, but between the show and my real life and my other entertainment stuff, that I'm on quite a bit. Now, I don't sit there fixated, at least most days, you know, but it is interesting because it goes down further and it talks about, you know, both experts interviewed for this article agreed that the best thing parents can do to minimize the risks associated with technology is to curtail their own consumption first. Mm-hmm. Like, look in the mirror.
They see how important it is to us, right? We always got our face in the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky turf, right? Because especially now, and the pandemic kind of throws a variable wrench into everything. Because, like, my wife works from home, and she's really handling work as she's on the phone or, like, face down on the computer. She's rarely on, like, social. Right. And when we shut it down, we shut it down. We have to set a good example of what healthy computer usage look like. Most of us check our phones or email too much out of real interest or nervous habit. Kids should be used to seeing our faces, not our heads bent over a screen.
Yep.
I'll get into some more tips, but we haven't heard from Mark yet. Mark, what do you have to say on this stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, because I have an older child, this came home to me earlier than I wanted. My ex-wife wanted my daughter to have a phone. I didn't, which brought in all of the social. This is you know, relatively early in social media. So at a very young age, she had all this social media, and I lived through that process with her and how social media affected her self-image. And I mean, everything that this article said was dead on with how it impacted her, how we had to deal with it as parents.
So you kind of saw it happening live. Like there was no long tail. There was nothing to compare it to. You didn't have this information.
None of this stuff was breaking wildfire. And so because of her situation, we elected to not get my 15-year-old his phone until he graduated eighth grade. And that was a sticking point for him because, as we all know, everybody has, I mean, heck, you know, fifth graders, fourth graders, third graders have phones, right? So, so he felt like he was locked out of a certain communication zone with friends, which, you know, I've always been a proponent of pick up the phone, have a face-to-face. I mean, that's where you learn skills. I mean, you don't learn a skill by, like, shorthanding your text messages. Anyhow, so he has a phone now. Now my 11-year-old has changed schools, and, you know, because of the dynamics there, it's a much bigger school than where she was, and she wants a phone for communication purposes. Mm-hmm. So I'm currently in the process of trying to find a way to ensure that, you know, like, you can call five people and text five people, but you have, like, no internet, no social media at all, because my 15-year-old has had struggles with exactly what this article talks about bullying, about self-image, and just all these things. So I've seen it with my oldest child. I've seen it with my next child. You can't completely prevent it from your other children, but you can be smart about when you offer up the technology, how you discuss the technology. And then the big part we were just talking about, MK, is putting down the technology. So I'm a big fan of, like, I use my phone for music. I'll have music piping through the house. I put my phone down. I don't touch it. My children rarely see me looking at my phone. Other, you know, somebody texts me, I respond. When we were in Pebble Beach, there was a day when you guys were texting, and I think the number got up to 26 texts.
It's because we're funny.
It was super funny, stuff. Although...
And I put Ben's head on, like, mythical creatures.
Although my co-pilot, my 11-year-old co-pilot was just like, jeez, Dad. I mean, she's like looking
at
your
17. Text. I never get to 26.
It was about 26. It was amazing. Anyhow, the point is, I agree that you have to lead by example, but I love Instagram and I love Facebook, and there's a lot of good that comes from those in Twitter and all those things. I just wish that we could find a way to encourage kids to be kinder and to not use it as its methodology of bullying.
I just want to say, I think it's really great that there's so much discussion, because we are kind of in the first, maybe second generation of this. My hope is that by the time my kids are older, selfishly, I'm like, oh, it won't be the shiny new toy as much. And we'll have learned enough. Mm-hmm. There'll be some backlash, unfortunately, on the shoulders of your 21-year-old, 22-year-old, 22-year-old, like, that'll be on their shoulders, all this. But we'll have learned a lot, hopefully. And, you know, it just won't be the shiny new toy. So hopefully, you know, that'll happen. Also, I read something that 80% of a children's upbringing is from the home. So whatever they're exposed to in the world, still don't forget that 80% is going to be learned from you and mom. And the other thing I've been wondering is, like, there's YouTube Kids now, right?
Right.
Why isn't there, like, Facebook Kids, or, like, with way tighter parameters and filters? Or
there is.
Does it come in, like, right? There, like, no, the version, is. Like, to separate the Vanguard, right? It needs a Vanguard.
No, it's there. It's
My daughter uses Messenger.
Facebook Kids Messenger.
Yeah, oh. and she messages her. I mean, she messages your son. Yeah.
Well, there you go,
and
right?
And they communicate, like, and as a parent, we're learning. We can monitor it to make sure it's safe and it's appropriate. We have to approve their friends.
Right.
So I'm comfortable with all that. But, you know, once
TikTok kids,
once you hand them the phone and it's theirs, it becomes a completely different.
Because, like, that open ocean, man, that's some sharks.
I mean, I've given up.
Let me segue out with some tips from and data. You know, basically, there's a couple pointers in here and just some suggestions. And it's hard. It's hard doing what we all do. And I have to admit, like, I need to get better at this. I do. And my wife probably will say the same thing. But, you know, I consciously am self-checking myself now, like, and I try to do better, and I'm going to continue to try to do better. But they basically established technology-free zones in the house, which, like, our main room here is, like, our movie room. No gadgets are allowed in there.
No phones.
Technology-free hours when no one uses the phone. I just recently had, well, this is more for my personal, but I have that hard screen time shut off.
Yeah.
It turns on at 8 a.m. and shuts off at 9 p.m. and I can't get in it. And if you try to get in, it's a real pain in the butt because then you have to personally approve every app, everything that you were keeping on. It keeps your text open and it keeps your phone, but that's it.
That's awesome.
So I'm just taking baby steps. But a lot of things like don't walk in the door after work, say hi quickly, and then just check your email in the morning. Get up a half hour earlier than your kids and check your email then. Give them your full attention before they're out the door, especially now to school. Neither of you should be using the phones in the car to or from school because that's really important time to talk. Not only does limiting the amount of time you spend plugged in to provide healthy counterpoint to the technology-obsessed world, it also, to Ben's point, strengthens the parent-child bond and makes the kids feel more secure. Kids need to know you're available to help them with their problems, talk about the day, or give them reality check, as good parents would try to do. It's in the moments of disconnection when parents are too focused on their own devices and screens that dilutes that parent-child relationship from Dr. Steiner Adair in a warning. So it's interesting, right? Like it's an ever evolving subject and there is no long tail, but these are the first studies that are starting to land with clear data and clear facts. Suicide is up, depression's up, anxiety's up. And, you know, all these kids are going from teenagers to college, and then they're out in the big world with all these backlogged issues from years of this. So, I mean, it's definitely an epidemic. And as parents, I'm just going to keep trying to do the best I can. And that's all it's all we can do. Because they're going to get outside of the house, and they're going to talk to their friends and see what's hot and what's popping and what videos, what's funny at TikTok. I mean, I will walk in and be like, oh, my gosh, you've got to see this TikTok video. So we're very aware. We're not, like, hiding in the closet secretly watching funny TikTok stuff.
Right.
TikTok's gone off the rails, by the way. There's got to be something to replace it soon. It's crazy. But, yeah, if you do these things, according to this article – offline, the gold standard advice for helping kids build healthy self-esteem is to get them involved in things they're interested in. And we've talked about that, and we're all really good at that, I think. We hike, we play sports, we get them out of the house. There are definitely no screens for monster chunks of the day in this joint.
Yeah. That's one of the good things about the practicing a lot and doing the softball or the golf and all this stuff.
Well, yeah.
Is all the practice and the time that it takes that it's like not on the screen, you know, so at least that there's that.
And they're interacting with their peers, yeah, right? If you're on a team or playing a sport or around a ton of people, like you have no choice but to have camaraderie and teamwork and listen to your coaches and all that stuff. But yeah, I thought that was a really good article. I'm going to put the link up like we always do. But I want to thank the author, Rachel Emke. And if you haven't checked out Child Mind Institute, if you're out there, they have some really great articles, not only for families, but educators and clinical care. And it's a very well-respected and thorough and data and science-driven site. So that's our Smart Articles by Smart People. Are we feeling good? Or no?
Yeah. No, I'm just picturing doing what I want to do and seeing my daughter be the only one not on a screen in the playground, like trying to interact with everybody else.
All right. Well, thank you. Coming up next,
you should come like
a we're going to switch over, and I have a fun one since we're on the topic of teenagers. We're going to do questions to ask your best friends from Teen Vogue coming up next.
Nice.
That's hot. Hop it time!
All right. Dads. Ben, I know you don't have teens yet, but I thought
Sorry, guys, that was heavy. I'm going to light it up.
You appreciate it. I know you depend on me. Have a pickle.
Yeah, have a pickle.
I never realized how large your feet were until tonight.
You never looked at my feet before?
14.
14.
Did you hold Ben's boot earlier? Is that a rumor?
He wanted me to know how heavy it was, and I obliged.
Okay, well, speaking of that, these are from Teen Vogue. And they're good questions to ask your best friends. And I thought since my best friends are in the yard, we can do it. Okay, the first question is, I'll start. Who was your first crush? It's from Teen Vogue.
Oh, my gosh.
Good question to ask.
Celebrity or you mean person?
Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to say person.
Oh, really? Person would be, like Lisa William, fifth, sixth grade.
Fifth, sixth.
What if they're listening? They're probably asleep. Listening.
Dude, I can't even think. Okay.
Actually, I can't flattered. Say last names then. But, yeah.
They will be flattered.
But then Splash, Daryl Hannah.
Oh.
I saw that. I was like, celebrity. Oh, that's mine.
Totally. Yeah. Okay, I can do both. Ashley Monahan, kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Yep.
Wow.
Totally remember that.
Casanova.
Ashley Monahan. And definitely Alyssa Milano. I was like, who?
Oh, who's the boss?
That.
Yeah. Samantha.
Samantha. Put a poster over my bed from the Teen Pop magazine.
Really?
I did.
Interesting.
All right, Mark.
You know, I had many crushes in school, and I can't remember any of their names until we get into older grades, and I don't want to talk about them. But I will tell you that I remember my buddy had the Farrah Fawcett poster on his wall.
The gun? Charlie's Angel?
The red swimsuit.
Yeah. That's not a thing anymore, right?
There's also
the posters are a thing.
Still? Yeah. Really?
Sorry.
Linda Ronstadt was also pretty fantastic.
Good
back
one.
Then.
Really?
And then of course, sweet. Linda Carter. I mean, who didn't love Wonder Woman?
How old are you? 70? Well, I remember when Jane Mansfield.
That's around the same time.
No, dude. Linda Carter, big one. I wish this was PG-13 because
Jamie
I was
all about Olivia Newton-John if we're going to go celebrity.
Oh,
when she's in Greece in the end and the hair's all
tell me about it,
stud.
Oh, man.
Boy.
Right?
And then Dory. I'll just say Dory.
Dory?
Yeah, we were at Rollerama. for a school skating event.
It's this Philly thing. They had a lot of cologne.
Oh, and we did couple skate.
Oh, okay.
Dory.
Is that
and
like
that
where
was
you
like
hold
my,
hands
I was
and
like,
stuff?
I swear, I could still remember the feeling.
What's happening to my body?
Just the feeling of like, oh my gosh, like I. And then when I would see her from the bus window from there, it was like the Wonder Years. I'm like,
wow. Totally.
Or the Sandlot, the lifeguard in the Sandlot. Like, I just look at her like wide eyed and nothing.
Ever.
She transferred Wonder schools years. And that was it.
That was
oh,
it.
No. She
all right,
transferred
number
schools.
Two is again from Teen Vogue. Good questions to ask your best friends. What's your favorite thing you own and why?
Easy.
Easy.
What?
My wife pegged mine, and I didn't think she would.
My wife would get mine, yeah.
I have this, you're going to love this. It's next to my bed.
Oh, Lord.
And it's this, you put essential oils and water in it, and then it blows out puffs of steam.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it turns different colors.
We have the same. It's so hypnotic.
It's so amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to turn it on right now.
Every night.
What is that?
I do it every morning, and I do like
so
eucalyptus
soothing.
And
what?
Stuff. And it fills your room with this.
It's like some Lord
ours
of the Rings.
Is consistent.
Like
it costs $20.
Sauron.
It's a little Lord of the Rings.
It is kind of Twin Towers-y. But you got, is ours a constant little stream of soothing light and smoke? Oh.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Where does the smoke come from?
It's vapor.
Oh.
And you put two drops of essential oil in it, so like it's so good for you if you do like for your nose and whatnot.
Yeah, some days I'll do a little
this
lavender.
This is the first little thing we've connected on in this.
Wow.
I usually make fun of your little remedies, but.
Wait, you want a vanilla hand wipe? I got one right here.
I don't. See, that's where I draw the line. That's where you lose me, buddy.
Who are we? Can't,
I'm still
you
interested.
You want a vanilla hand wipe
that's
to take the canned pickle juice off your hand from earlier?
I'm still interested.
I'll say mine is my 73 Gibson Dove, which I'm super weird about. I'm not weird about any material item on this earth except my...
is that your old dog?
Oh, I'm sorry. Guitar. It's a guitar. My gosh. It's a dreadnought guitar that has gone with me everywhere and done everything. So I'm weird about that guitar. Irreplaceable.
Mark, what's your favorite thing you own and why?
I don't have anything that I can think of, to be honest with you.
Wow, he doesn't have
any. I said, do you want me to ask these off the cuff, or do you want me to tell you ahead
and
of time?
I'm really good off the cuff. Yeah. I'll go ahead and nail it. I'll hit it out of the park. I'll throw some corn at you. I'm so good at off the cuff. And then here he is, frozen.
There wasn't any of that.
Frozen like Elsa.
I don't own anything.
Or Anna. Anna got frozen.
Okay, fine. I have an American Strat that has EMG pickups that I recorded my first record with.
Fair enough.
And if I have if I had to pick one thing, like if my house were on fire, other than my family and my 500 cats, I would grab my Fender Strat.
That wasn't a question.
I daydream about that.
We didn't ask you if your house is on fire.
Well, you know, a favorite thing. It's like when you think about your favorite thing, what's the thing you go save?
Yeah, it is true.
So
it's that what you're going to save in a fire. Then I changed my answer because I was going to say like my neck massager. No. Mark, like that kind
Mark
of thing.
Manipulated the question.
What's that was irreplaceable? Like family
photo
album.
Like my hard drive full of all the pictures. Would grab my hard drive. That's probably what I grab is like a hard drive of all the pictures. That's probably my house on fire. That's probably what I'm going for. But like favorite thing, I have this like, you know, neck, like I need this every day. It's like this kneading heat, circular, you know, neck shoulder
how'd
massager.
How'd that go?
You know, like the.
I love that.
Oh my gosh, man. I'm like every addicted
day?
Now.
Every day?
It's like a vibrating bed in a hotel room in Orlando,
Florida. Kind of like that. Not at all.
Travel some quarters thing, in. And, do you know the Theragun?
Yeah, it's like a Theragun you strap around your shoulders and you use your body weight to like dig into the neck. Ooh. Oh my gosh.
I'm right there with you.
I need you to send me that information.
That's some good old man sauce right there.
$39. Man sauce.
All right, here we go. I'm going to give you an easy one and then I'm going to give you one that Mark may be able to answer off the cuff or not. Where do you want to travel the most?
Oh man, I got to say, I went on a business trip to Bali. And it was just fell in love with that place. And I wish I could go back someday, but I never will. But it's one of those things that's like in my mind, it probably was better than it might actually be. Bali, but it was like paradise. Bali.
Just like paradise.
Almost paradise.
Ann Wilson and Mike Reno from Loverboy sang that song, as you well know. And it was also in the film Footloose. Ben, where would you travel to?
Holland. there's the one place I would not go if I didn't have to is Holland. We spend a lot of time in Europe, of course, but I'll just say I gravitate towards new tropical places if I have time off.
All right.
Bali.
I see my sad thing is I think a beach is a beach is a beach.
No.
I'm like, you can have sand and warmth.
Let me expound a little bit. No, like you go to Thailand beach compared to a Hawaiian beach or a Bali beach. It's all the food, the people.
I don't disagree. I just I haven't had that. I'm more of a cold-blooded guy. Like, I want Iceland.
Mm.
I would love to go to Iceland. Or I would go back to Japan. I love Japan. I love Venice. It's one of my favorite places on planet Earth.
Wow.
But Iceland would be my new.
It's easy. I'll tell you about it. Yeah,
Iceland.
All right, Mark.
Really?
Tahiti.
Oh, so three islanders.
Yeah, exactly.
I have friends who've been to Moorea and Tahiti and a lot of those islands, and the photos are always amazing.
Isn't that a Beach Boys song?
Maybe.
Moorea, Tahiti.
Come on, pretty.
I'll just say to MK, if you have a chance, if I hadn't been to Iceland and seen it, like I would say that because it's the only place on Earth that's in like another planet.
You gotta go. I've had friends that have gone and just swear by. There's a photographer I follow, Chris Burkhart, and he and his boys mountain biked across Iceland.
Sure, why not?
There's great metal there, too.
Mark's metal. Making a Eurovision reference or something. All right, final question. What's one thing most people don't... This is from Teen Vogue, by the way. Questions to ask your best friend. What's one thing most people don't know about you? I'll start.
Ooh. Oh, man.
I once worked... as a Planet Hollywood bathroom attendant, meaning I sat in a bathroom for 8 hours at a time in Planet Hollywood with a bucket of mints. Oh, but I like this part. Ton of colognes.
Yeah.
And I would offer like hand wipes to guys who come out of the bathroom. And then my boss, well, I thought I was going to wait tables. That went away quickly because they were like, we need a bathroom attendant. And it was one of my first jobs. I was stringing a couple together. And he said, the key to this job is get people to talk to you. If you can get people to, anybody says something to you, the chances of you getting a dollar out of them are like 95% and higher because they've established a connection. And they'll fish. And I swear, I would walk out of this silly bathroom with $300+ a night. After. Wow.
Whoa.
Job. Plus an hourly. Take that.
That's a haul.
No, I never met Bruce Willis or Arnold or any of the other guys that invested in it. But I was in a bathroom for a long time. Chris, what's something we don't know about you?
Something you guys don't know?
You guys don't, or other people don't.
Or other people, it doesn't matter.
Jeez. I at one point wanted to be a professional sushi chef, so I apprenticed at a sushi restaurant.
That's awesome.
For like a whole summer unpaid.
Really?
Know? Oh my gosh, like gutting, like cleaning all the fish and sharpening the knives every morning. That's all I would have to do is like all this like really, and I thought I'd be like, hey, rolling some California rolls and making all these things and... Yeah, like
it's a serious deal.
Because I really wanted to be like the do it the legit way and apprentice and all this, and so I finally got a job there, started doing it, and then I was like, I don't want to really do this the rest of my life. But yeah, I finally got to the point where I was at the bar making sushi. So yeah, that's one of my secret, not secret, but careers.
Before would we know this sushi place?
I worked at Something Fishy Sushi in Westwood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, when you were at UCLA.
Yeah. And that was, you know, we'd bring home the leftover sushi to the roommates and stuff. So it was a pretty legit situation.
So you were in college and like, moonlighting as an apprentice
sushi. I somehow got enamored with this, you know. Like, I'm going to do this for a living. Fish.
Well, let's see. Winner's got to have something bizarre.
Oh, it's well, I'm trying to think about what I should really disclose.
I know.
Like
something G-rated and family-oriented, G-rated? Hopefully.
Okay. Teen Vogue, though. Teen Vogue.
Well, level. Then yeah. I'll just say that I like some trashy TV.
Oh, yeah?
I'm being a little bit guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about this, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. Okay? Don't judge me.
The one that my wife and I are sort of addicted to is Below Deck Mediterranean.
Well, I haven't gone that deep, but...
Bravo Monday Night.
Yeah, okay.
90 Day Fiancé.
Just do it.
I don't know why, like, that's bachelor-esque type of stuff. I just, like, I love watching beautiful, drunk people try to get together. It's just so weird. It's stuff like that.
Married at first
Hang
sight?
Hang out in Have this neighborhood that? For a while.
Oh, man.
Mark?
I don't know. Have I ever told you guys that I'm a certified massage therapist and I taught at a massage school?
Yeah, of course you told me.
Have I told you?
I remember the first time we met. Yeah,
but yeah, most people. I can see how most people don't know that.
Yeah.
It's not a normal thing
you wear on the. But hey, my shoulders are.
Well, see, I guess.
Well, you talked about that thing that you love, and I was like,
let's give it to Teen Vogue.
Teen Vogue.
They were good questions, and we did not know a lot of that stuff about each other.
I froze on my favorite.
All right, so coming up next is the parent quiz, and just to stay on the same train track, so we're going to take this one from 17 Magazine, and this best friends quiz will tell you how well you really know your BFF.
Oh, man,
will your friendships last forever? Coming up next, the dads visit 17 Magazine.
It's quiz time! Parent quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, this is from 17 Magazine, as promised. How can you tell if someone is a friend or a real bestie? Well, for starters, a true friend is someone who finds their way back to you even if you're apart for a while. The person will always have your best interests at heart, even when the truth isn't what you want to hear. So, this is the best friend quiz, and we're going to find out how strong your friendship would really be. Okay? So, we're going to answer a series of questions. It'll be A and B, and at the end... You can figure your answers out for yourself. We'll decide what type of friend you are. Mm. All right? So keep your own score. I'm going to keep mine. A good friend is someone who answers my every call and text or is always there when I need them. Wow, that was a hard one. Let me repeat it.
Do we answer this?
Yes.
Always there when I need them.
Answers every call and text.
Every call and text.
Okay.
Come on.
Just kidding.
I was... Why are you yelling at him for a subjective answer?
Fine. I'm like, come on, though.
I'm used to getting yelled at. Go ahead.
Beck and call?
Every call and text. No,
I'm going to say is always there when I need them.
Yeah, if I need you, cool. Exactly. Otherwise, you know.
There's no judgment here. Answer honestly, gentlemen.
Unless you
This is an important quiz.
Weirdo.
Chris didn't wear.
Your friend really wants to go out, but you need to study.
Yeah.
How do they take the rejection? They say, A, they say you suck and it's your loss. B, they ask if you want to have a study date, but you can both go out tomorrow.
So we need to remember this is for 17-year-olds. Yeah, so B.
It's hard to put your mind in the 17-year-old.
Oh, this is way more difficult for you guys, isn't it?
No. I'm feeling it.
I'm going to say they ask if you want to have a study date, but you can both go out tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they're funny friends. Yeah.
Is that the
and then
answer?
Be like, yeah, you suck, you're lost, and then they kind of like laugh on their way out. I don't know, but I'm going to go with B on that one. All right. You know that your friend's crush isn't interested in them. Oh. How do you handle the situation?
Wait, if you're...
A, you say nothing. You don't want to risk your friend getting mad at you. Mm. B, be honest with them. They may be upset, but in the end, it's better they know.
You gotta be honest.
This is just a little psychological.
Pipe down. That's what it is.
You gotta meddle. Be honest. Don't say anything.
Don't forget. Yeah, we're talking about 17-year-olds reading. Yeah,
so no trick questions.
I think I would tell my best friend.
Of course, we would.
That he's not into.
Hey,
you
know that he's not, or she's not into me or whatever.
Yeah. I guess I would say that. Yeah, you're right. Best friend for sure.
That's gotta
best
be. Friend. Yeah, that's best friend material.
That's best friend material. Yeah.
All right. This is my wife and I did these earlier, by the way. We were cracking up.
I love you guys.
You borrowed just a cool vintage dress from your friend and oops, spilled a few drops of spaghetti sauce on it.
It always happens.
Right, it happens. Yeah. The day after, you A, return it to them and apologize profusely, yeah. Or B, let them know, apologize and offer to pay for the dry cleaning.
Both profusely and
B.
Dry cleaning.
Of course, dry cleaning.
Yeah. Of course.
Clean. I go C.
Let's see.
What's that?
I'm an adult. I try to get it out on my own.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, I drive it to the dry cleaner, do 24-hour overnight.
And then
I hand it back.
Well, yeah, totally.
As if nothing ever happened.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. I take the shady out on that one.
No, that's not shady. That's you taking care of the problem. Yeah. Otherwise, they got to take the dry cleaners.
Right. Well, what if they can't drive?
Well, they bike it down there.
Well, they're 17.
Come on. Bike it.
Well, yeah.
Drive? What are you going to drive?
Cool vintage dress, spaghetti sauce. There's a lot of layers to that one.
Yeah, that's confusing. That one's, moving on.
At the mall, the people you're hanging out with start talking trash about your bud.
Oh.
Right? When they turn to you for input, you A, change the subject, or B, defend your friend.
Defend your friend.
But isn't changing the subject defending your friend?
No.
Like you're taking the spotlight off Mark?
No, you
got
to call people out.
No, you got to own it.
Huh?
You got to call them out.
So you defend your friend.
Yeah.
That's your bestie.
You say, hey, Jimmy is cool. You guys just don't know.
That's your bestie.
Yeah, that's mall code.
Yeah, it's mall code.
What if it's like 7 or 8 people? You still
going? Take them on, man.
You risk not rolling the mall with the rest of them? They're like, oh, no, Jimmy's a dud.
No, I got MMA under my belt. It's like it's go time.
Well, that made no sense. Okay. Your BFF wasn't invited to the biggest party of the year, but you were.
Dang.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
I know. It's the biggest party.
Can I guess what one of those is?
Well,
call a host and ask.
One's go anyway, or B, refuse to go without them.
Mm. I was hoping there's a C.
Yeah,
C
call the host.
Call the host and say, can this person come?
No, no. It's like you guys throw your own better party.
No. That's
go out
and
bet for cars.
MK just said it's the best part of the year, bro.
It's
the biggest. It's not necessarily the best.
Oh, okay. It's the one that you and your friend remember forever at 17. Remember we didn't go to Bobby Moynihan's party and we
went to
surf and turf and all that?
Remember we didn't go to prom and we just hung out?
We hung out and then you threw up from eating too much
your
black
parents'
Angus.
Cheetos
or black Angus. Yeah, because that's what teenage girls flock to.
Eat red meat until
it's been a while since I
forget that
17.
Party.
Where were you?
We going to black Angus,
were
Shirley.
You at the grocery store with all these quizzes?
Come on, Cheryl.
In your opinion, friendship is about quantity over quality or respect?
What?
Means like, would you rather have a ton of friends?
Those aren't mutually exclusive.
No, none of those.
Respect. Well, write the editor.
your quiz.
I'm
going
to say respect.
Respect, yeah,
I guess.
Totally.
Quantity versus quality.
That question doesn't make sense.
Quality.
I'm not answering it.
Is the answer.
I thought about that one deeper than I should have when I initially answered it. Because I had a lot of, I was spread across
a lot of different
very
groups.
Ferris Bueller-esque. Yeah. Like, he's friends with the blahs and the blahs and the blahs and the blahs. That great line from E. McCurgle. In the principal's office in Ferris Bueller.
Oh, right, right, like, right. Okay, yes.
They
yes,
think
yes.
He's,
oh, the
a righteous
and
dude.
The
he's
yes,
a righteous
yes,
dude,
yes.
Right.
Yeah, that, I just was, we were all friends with everybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had a couple really close friends too. But, all right. So I'm going to go respect on that one. As you're leaving to meet your bestie for a movie, your crush calls.
Oh.
They want you to hang out with you at the arcade next. Oh, this is tough. They want you to hang out with at the arcade next door to the movie theater. What do you do? Do you text your friend and ask if they would be chill with you bailing for your crush? Or tell your crush you already have plans, but you'd like to hang out another time?
I mean, we know the right thing
to do. The strategic way that
you can almost look back at a reality. What did you do when this occurred?
To get the crush, you have to play hard to get and go do the friend thing. But I think as a friend code again, it's like when your crush calls, they know to stand down. My best friend, if your crush at 17, if your crush called you and was like, hey, let's hang out, I would stand down. That's when it's like you and the crush go have a
go have a Coke at the arcade.
Yeah, oh, we'll watch a movie anytime. You know what I mean? Right?
That's another C though. Hey, friend, I got my action going on. I'm going to hang out with them. Are you cool?
Yeah, that's A, isn't it?
And if your friend's like, oh, wow, I've been planning this forever and la, 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 then,
a
you know.
Movie.
Then,
come
then,
on.
Well, then you stick with your friend.
You could always go A. If your crush calls
you, guys, you,
you
guys,
go. I just want you guys to know that if your crushes call you, I won't mind.
This is stressing that out.
You
lost him.
That's good stuff. all right, final question. You're hanging with your friend on your couch, and the conversations die down. So, do you try to think of something to say so no one gets bored? Or do you enjoy the silence? You're just fine chilling quietly together.
Ken, we all know what's right.
I don't think any of us are the quiet type.
Huh? You enjoy the silence.
Let me ask you this as a dad of teens. Have you ever been in the car with them and their friends?
When they stop talking.
When they stop talking?
They are on
and what do
their
you do?
Phones.
Oh.
Wow. Remember that I was telling you? We had back. 8 people in the car. We had to do the fold down and had like 7 people in the car.
I remember this.
All of them were on their phones. So like, yeah, it's quiet.
Damn.
Quiet time.
Shoot.
Yay. I know. The article.
It's no good.
I'm trying. It's too late.
It's just scary. It's not. I'm not condemning you. It's just scary.
No, I mean, what can I do? I mean, that's the life, right?
You can
right?
tell them. To turn off the phones. No phones
We're
in my car.
We're digressing fast.
I think there's times that silence is nice.
One final question.
Silence the is nice.
Before
silence
we go off
gold,
the ramp.
As my dad would say.
Do you keep any secrets from your friend? Only a few, but you don't know everything about their life either. Or, no, they've earned your complete trust.
No one has.
Oh, yeah.
I think you go only a few. But that's me as an older guy,
yeah. No
seasoned athlete.
Yeah, dude. No.
All right. So here's the summation. If you answered mostly with the left, which would be the A side, the first choice, you're close friends. You've been there for some major life moments and milestones, and although you've really clicked, you aren't quite BFFs. Oh. Maybe you need practice being more vulnerable in the relationship to help form a deeper connection. Or maybe you need to take time to tell your friends how much they mean to you. If you answered mostly with the right, you two are basically soulmates. You constantly make the effort to show how much you value your friendship. You're honest with each other, and you're there for all the ups and downs. You both plan on making this friendship last a lifetime.
Soulmates, huh?
Yeah. So you might as well start looking at your retirement packages now.
Huh.
That was a good one. Congratulations, guys. Well done.
Yeah, we're just like 17-year-old
girls. We just decided.
Awesome.
Your friendships, and you did good. Coming up next, things that make us smile, and the show closed.
That was silly!
All right, and finally, things that make me smile. That last segment was pretty funny, though. Picturing you as three teenage girls hanging out with me and getting your answers was quite enjoyable. All right, I have a lot to smile about this week. I went back to work in football, and it was really nice to see fans in the stands and families and just the tribe was reunited and high-fiving, and you could tell there were so many sub-reunions going on, and we hadn't been in that joint in 18 months, I believe, 574 days.
Wow.
So it was really joyous and joyful to be together there. And also, it's back to school week for us personally. So we got to do the school supplies this week and the haircuts, and the kids are all like geeked up, ready to go to school. And it totally makes me smile. Like, I love this time of year because we're right on the cusp of pumpkin lattes.
Oh, Lord, that's right.
Man. Yeah. So all those things made me smile. And I'll just tell one sweet but sad little instance. We had a good friend that works with us at the 49ers pass away from COVID.
Oh, no.
And he was a huge fan. And he, you could tell the outpouring of love for him online when he passed, and he just touched so many lives. And his best friend still works with us, and he walked into the entertainment room where I was at, and they would always come in after their jobs and talk. We would just talk football, like, what's going on in the game, what do you think about this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. So just as he walked in and we were just about to say Mike's name, Trey Lance threw an 80 yard bomb.
Saw that.
And the guy caught it for a touchdown literally as his name was coming out of our mouths. We both, like, teared up, and we high-fived, and we're like, oh, my gosh, like, he's here right now. And it's a really cool full-circle moment. So now off to you.
Oh, man, how do I follow that? But
and rest in peace, M.A.
Yeah. I mean, this week, yeah, back to school. That was the big one for us. I was starting to get a little bit worried, you know, for my – youngest daughter, who started middle school last year and had to spend the whole year distance learning, basically started a new school virtually and never had set foot on this new campus. So having gone from elementary school to, like, having lockers and going from class to class and that big jump, this is the first time she's doing it. So, like, you know, like, having them after that sort of, like, that long respite, being back to sort of that sense of normalcy has been something that's been, you know, definitely brought a smile to my face, but also, like, makes me feel a little bit lonely. They're gone. I'm still stuck at home doing work. And
you're not, dude. I
go downstairs.
You can text us.
They're all gone. I know. That's why we
we're
did
always
the 24.
Got some chains going. I'll put your head on Indiana Jones if you want me to.
I know, that's scary. The face app. Once you get a hold of it,
Mark.
You know, 2 weeks ago, my 11-year-old started middle school, similar, new school, new situation. She's pumped and happy, so that makes me feel good this week.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
Oh, man. The cannery's going well.
Please proceed, Mark. Kidding.
I was ready to stop. Because, you know, whatever.
I am a huge fan of your daughter, and I'm glad she's doing well.
My 15-year-old started school this week, and much like your kids, MK, next week, my 6-year-old starts school. So just seeing them get back into the routine, similar to what you were saying about your kids, Chris, you know, my son started high school last year. He did get a little bit of time before his freshman year was over, but just him having a full year of school, just, you know, it's just routines, getting everything back, and that just makes me happy to have a routine.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just, yeah.
All right, Ben?
Yeah, I've had plenty of time, haven't I? I wasn't quite ready. And you, because I was going to talk about the 49ers because I grew up in the Bay, so
yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
That's a big
and
one.
I just, seriously, it's incredibly heartwarming, but that's redundant. So I'm just going to say fresh squeezed orange juice.
Yeah,
that'll work for me.
Every morning with you. Huh?
No, I'm addicted.
Yeah. FSOJ.
FSOJ.
All right. Well, we want to thank all of our listeners. You all rock, and we always enjoy our interactions with you out there in the wild. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we're giving out candy canes during the holidays this year, and you'll assuredly be on our list. And we're giving away Ben Winter CDs to every 10th follower that clicks in at this point.
Only,
we have a few CDs. And also have some fun. Follow us and say hi on the Gram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at Dad Time Out Show. I'm MK.
Believe it.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ben.
I'm Mark.
And we are out of here. Have a great night, everybody.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our time that I was a real out of here.